Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. We are live at Bridgestone Arena where the Preds take on the Arizona Coyotes tonight. And Floyd?
Yes, sir.
The Titans are doing their thing on the coaching search. Mike Vrabel, the defensive coordinator of the Houston Texans, interviewed with the Titans today. Ian Rappaport at NFL Network does have an update on the Titans' current coaching search situation. Here's what he said.
They actually just completed the interview with Mike Vrabel, the Houston Texans defensive coordinator. Got another on tap today. Steve Wilks, the Carolina Panthers defensive coordinator, also going to interview there. And then Matt LaFleur, the Rams OC, slated for tomorrow. All these were jumbled up because of snow or dusting or whatever they're having there in Nashville. But Vrabel is certainly an interesting one to keep an eye on, as really is Wilks, honestly. They are leader types, and that's one thing that general manager John Robinson, Mike, has been looking for, a leader of men rather than someone to just come in and say, help Marcus Mariota get better. You can do that with a really good offensive coordinator. They're looking for someone to just lead this football team.
First of all, I love how the insider types, they hear something in a press conference, and then they, you know, John Robinson said he is looking, Paul, for a leader, somebody that can really lead the team. When really John Robinson just said, well, you know, I mean, we're looking for a guy who can be a leader of our team, who can be the – and then they take that one thing and they make it – but that is the current update of the state of affairs with the Titans coaching search. LaFleur, Wilks, Vrabel, et cetera. Ask you a question, though. Just a philosophical question here. Put your GM hat on, Floyd Reese.
Okay.
If you were going to fire the successful playoff coach – which Mike Mularkey was successful here. There is no way around it. He was successful in his 2 years as coach. If you're going to fire the successful coach, don't you kind of have to know who you want to hire to replace him? Like, don't you kind of have to already know that going in?
Well, we've talked about this before, but I'm sure he had a list of candidates in his pocket, in his head, in his safe someplace. Of people that he would be willing to talk to. The problem always is the same, which is, are you going to be able to talk to these guys? And some of them you can, and some of them you can't. And therein the rub lies. You know, if you have a guy that was fourth on your list and that, you know, you would much rather hire the other three, and then you can't get to the other three, you're denied permission or you're, you know, whatever the case may be, well, now you're to your fourth guy. And so you're not as excited about your fourth guy as you are about the first. But you can't get the others, so that's where you are. And I think that happens not just John, and I'm not sure that's happening here, but I think those kind of things happen. And that, you know, if you were to ask a guy right now who you're going to hire, he'd say, yeah, I'm going to hire so-and-so. And then all of a sudden in 4 weeks, they've hired somebody completely different. What happened? And they'll, you know, come up with all those different reasons.
But again, the guys they can't talk to, like we went over this, 7 legitimate candidates right now for head coaching jobs you cannot talk to. You cannot talk to Brian Flores of the Patriots. You cannot talk to Matt Patricia or Josh McDaniels. You can't talk to Jim Schwartz, Frank Reich, John Filippo or whatever, DeFilippo. And you cannot talk to Pat Shurmur of the Vikings. So there's 7 guys right now you legitimately can't talk to. You knew on Monday when you fired Mike that you could not talk to those 7 guys. Like, you knew what the window was of when you could talk to people before you made the move to fire Mike. And I guess that goes back to my whole point. You can always have a list of who you want, but if you do fire your coach, you almost have to know who the list needs to be down to 1 guy, and you have to know you can get him before you go and fire Mike. Like, I don't think John Robinson is going to fire Mike and then hold a legitimate search to find a guy if he didn't know who he really wanted to hire to begin with.
Well, that may be true. Yeah, I mean, I mean, it may not be true.
But if it's not true, then it doesn't sound like John's very organized.
Well, either that or maybe John wasn't planning on it, thought it was going to be okay, and then didn't have a choice.
You still think that not firing Robiskie presented John with no choice?
Absolutely.
Why?
I'm just telling, I mean, it did.
for a guy who's very organized, who's very bold, who's very who thinks things through, who's very cerebral, I find it very hard to believe that John Robinson would fire Mike Mularkey if he didn't already know who else he wanted to hire. And I think it may be from that pool of seven. I think to me it's it could be from the pool of seven, or it's Vrabel. Why would he want Matt LaFleur? What does he know about Matt LaFleur? Why is he interviewing Matt LaFleur? How does he know anything about Matt LaFleur?
What does he know about Wilkes? I don't think he knows anything about Wilkes.
Well, but they have to interview.
I know. But
I mean, they have to interview per the Rooney Rule. Now, we would really know. We would really know that John Robinson knew who he wanted to hire if they interviewed like Chris Sanders to be the head coach of the Titans to get around the Rooney Rule. Then we would know that like how Oakland interviewed T. Martin to be the head coach of the Oakland Raiders.
Right.
Was T. Martin really going to be the head coach of the Raiders? No, but they knew they were going to hire John Gruden. And I feel like if you're going to fire Mike Mularkey, you have to know who you're going to hire. So for all this, I don't even, honestly, I don't care who they're interviewing. I don't, other than Vrabel. Vrabel, I think, is a legitimate candidate. The other guys, I'm not so sure are all that legitimate, because I stand back on it. I feel like if John was going to fire Mike, he knew who he was going to go to. It's like when you move on from a quarterback, right? Remember last year how there was all that talk that Washington didn't want Kirk Cousins and that San Francisco was going to trade for Cousins and Washington didn't really want him and he didn't want to sign the franchise tag in Washington. So they were going to trade Cousins to Cleveland or trade Cousins to San Francisco or they were going to trade Cousins. Remember all that talk? And you walked into the office and you said, well, who's going to be Washington's quarterback? And then we thought about it. We said, well, if they trade Cousins, well, they don't really have a quarterback. I just don't see John Robinson doing that at coach. I don't see him doing that. I don't see him letting go of Mike with the thought of, well, I think I can get my guy. But if I don't get my guy, then we're going to be throwing darts up against the dartboard. I don't see that. I can't see. He is too smart. He is too good of a football guy, I think, to do something that reckless.
I don't, again, you know, he may not have had a choice.
He had a choice.
Okay.
I mean, I know you got to be kind of on his side in that, and you got to say that whatever he said was what he said, but I stand by my initial theory that I think that what Mike did was probably dumb. Mike should not have, you know, taken his ball and gone home. But I still think John Robinson doesn't want Mike to coach the Titans. If you really love your wife, you might have some problems. You can find a way to keep your marriage afloat. You can work past that with your marriage. But if you don't really love your wife, then you kind of go towards divorce. And I think that's the way that it works with the coaching. And then there's also, you know, it's like if you've got a mistress, you know, it's a lot easier just to go right to her. You see that from time to time too, right? Like the guy's got a mistress, he divorces his wife, marries the mistress. Mm-hmm. Which generally speaking, and I've never been married, so maybe I shouldn't give out advice, but that's not how I want to live my life when I grow up. But at the same time, I would say that if you're going to fire your coach, if you're going to divorce your wife there, divorce your coaching wife, you're going to know who you're going to next. So that's just what I believe. Ian, what do you think?
I don't know about the relationship advice part.
What do you think about John Robinson knowing who he wanted to fire before?
I think, honestly, you would hope he had someone in mind if he's going to do something like this, which I'm sure, like Floyd said, everybody has probably a list somewhere.
I mean, I would hope
he does.
If you have a list, not even a list, you got to know the one guy. It's got to be the guy. Like, again, I think it was Mark Davis came out and said that, or he didn't say it, but he kind of admitted to it in the press conference. Mark Davis basically admitted to the fact that he knew he was going to hire John Gruden when he fired Jack Del Rio. I feel the same way about this. When John got up to that podium on Monday, John knew who he wanted to hire. Now, can John hire him?
What if he wanted the guy he wanted to hire was Gruden?
Well, then he wouldn't have fired Mike because Gruden was already taken by the time he got to the
podium. Well, if he didn't know Gruden was already taken.
But Gruden was already taken.
I mean, your argument is flawed.
Your question you just asked me is flawed because Gruden was already hired and had already had a press conference with the Raiders.
Whoever it is, Jim McDaniels.
That's the one.
And he's already signed at Indy. I mean, what if that happens?
Well, you can't already sign at Indy. But what if what if he can't get McDaniels,
Though
McDaniels is the one guy?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, all that sounds good on paper. You know, that all sounds good. Yes, this is the way it should go. It should be A, B, C, D, E. Yes, I understand that. But that's not the way it works. That's why you've got a list of five. If it worked the other way, you would have a list of one. And you would say, okay, I'm hiring a head coach. I want you. What do you mean you don't want to work for me? What do you mean you don't want to move to Nashville? What do you mean you got a better job to go to New York? What do you mean? No, I want to hire you. You're the one guy on my list. See my list? I mean, those things just don't work that way. It all sounds good. I mean, it all sounds fine.
And that's where I wonder, what if John talked to Josh this weekend? When they were in Foxborough, what if John talked to Josh? And John talked to Josh off the record, and John said to Josh, you know, what are you doing next? And Josh said, Johnny, I'm going to New England I'm going to Indianapolis if I don't get your job. And John said, okay, but if I give you this job, would you take this job over Indy? And Josh says, yes. Then you fire Mike 2 days later. Now it makes sense. Then you use what Mike said in the press conference against him because you know you're going to get Josh. That I can see being a legitimate possibility. So we'll take your calls in on it. 615-737-1025. Question for the callers. Do you think John Robinson would have fired Mike Mularkey if he didn't already know who he was going to get? 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM. Plus, I got one big question about John Robinson. You know, Tim Hasselbeck said John Robinson wants to make the Titans kind of like a New England. But I have the biggest question that I really wonder if the Titans are going to take the step to try to be like New England, and we will get to that coming up next. By the way, Vikings offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur named the 2017 NFL Assistant Coach of the Year by the Pro Football Writers of America. 615-737-1025, Jared the GM at ESPN 1025 The Game.
You know, whether it was the Josh McDaniels rumors or the fact that, you know, Mike Vrabel's, you know, now rumored to, or not rumored, but he's going to interview for the job, that, you know, John Robinson wants kind of a New England type setup here. And that makes a lot of sense. And I think it's what he's comfortable with. And I think it makes even more sense when you look at how the game against New England went.
That was Tim Hasselbeck on 3D talking about John Robinson wanting New England South. All right, let me ask you two philosophical questions, GM. Jared and the GM live out of Bridgestone Arena. Two philosophical questions.
Okay, up.
So, philosophically, not did this happen, but could this happen, and I'm using John as an example. Could a general manager have in mind who he wants to hire as his next head coach, but that next head coach still be coaching a team that's playing, thus he can't interview them, but would interview other candidates in the meantime?
Absolutely.
So, theoretically, John could be interviewing Mike Vrabel, Steve Wilks, Matt LaFleur, because he knows Brian Flores, the linebackers coach of the Patriots, who he wants to hire, is still coaching.
Well, yeah. I mean, the bottom line is, and I have no clue what's going on, but, I mean, for him to go 2 weeks and not interview anybody, he'd be fired. I mean, people would be clamoring, what are we doing? You know? Mm-hmm. And so I think he's obligated, if you will, to go out and interview some guys. So who are you going to interview? You know, well, let's try these guys.
Okay, now philosophically, here's my second question. Theoretically.
This will be a no, I can tell.
Philosophically, could a general manager talk to another coach on another team who's still playing and not officially interview him, but talk to him and get the low low on the low low without telling anybody officially.
That would be illegal.
That would be illegal?
Yes.
But philosophically, can it be possible in the league? not something you would do, but maybe another GM might do.
Has it ever been done?
Yes.
I'm sure it has. But it is illegal.
You're sure it has because you know that it has happened
before. No, no.
Is there any chance that John talked to Josh philosophically? Not asking if they actually talked, but theoretically, is there any chance that John talked to Josh when they were in Foxborough just in passing? Hey, John, how you doing? Good, Josh. How are the kids? Oh, they're great, John. How are you? Great. Hey, you want to come coach my team? Yeah, I'd love to over the Colts. All right, good game, Johnny. Any chance of that?
I doubt it.
Okay, to the phones we go. 615-737-1025. Frank is up next on Jared and the GM. What's up, Frank?
Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
First off, I wanted to say, Jared, a lot of times you go off on crazy on stuff, but I got to agree with you this time. John got somebody in mind, but I'm thinking maybe it could be already a head coach of another team. What do you think about that?
God, I would love that. Oh, thank you for the call, Frank. I would love to trade a draft pick to get a coach.
Well, that won't happen.
I would love, oh, God, a third-rounder to the Saints for Sean Payton. Oh,
is there somebody that's on the last year of their contract?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Would you trade for Andy Reid?
I wouldn't trade for anybody.
Would you trade for Sean Payton?
I wouldn't trade for anybody.
Would you trade for Bill Belichick?
I wouldn't trade for anybody.
You wouldn't trade for Belichick?
No.
Why not?
Because it costs you too much. You'd have to give up your drafts for the next 10 years.
Supposedly, the asking price for Belichick, if Belichick wants to leave, is going to be 3 first-round picks.
Oh.
For a 65-year-old guy.
I would do it for 3.
So then you would trade for Belichick.
Yeah. But
okay, Floyd says he wants to trade for Belichick.
But it'll take 7.
ESPN, get that. Call Cameron Wolf. Floyd says he would trade 3 first-round picks for Belichick. Extra, read all about it. Okay, let me ask you kind of a deeper, maybe, question. Can we go 3 weeks without a head coach? Because that's what it will be like if the Titans hire one of these guys that goes to the Super Bowl, because you've got this week, the off week, and then the Super Bowl week.
Yeah.
So it would literally be 3 weeks without a coach, which means we would be doing, you know, we'd be doing this show every day, the same show about, you know, well, what's next on the coaching front? Can the Titans afford to go until the Super Bowl without a coach?
Well, again, if going on your premise that we've got one guy and he's out, yeah. I mean, you have no choice.
What if you did have a choice? What if you did think maybe Vrabel would be an okay coach?
Well, so what are you asking? You, whoever we've interviewed is of the same caliber
if
as
who you really
some of
want,
the guys?
If who you really want is coaching in the Super Bowl and you have to wait 3 weeks to get him, is it worth hiring a guy who's not as good as the guy?
No.
So to wait?
Yes.
Do you think we will be waiting?
I have no idea. I have no clue.
I mean, I don't think the fans can take that kind of waiting.
It's a long wait.
But I think all the fans care about is winning. So I think that's the...
Well, the thing they want is they want to get the best guy. And if you got to wait on the best guy, then you got to wait. So, but none of us know that for sure.
I wonder what the validity in these guys are. You know, how much of interviewing Vrabel is, you know, to do a favor to Belichick and to kind of raise his profile a little bit? How much of interviewing Wilkes is about the Rooney Rule? How much of interviewing LaFleur is just to get the fans who won't shut up about wanting a Sean McVay to make them happy? Like, you know what
three,
I mean?
These three certainly hit all that.
I mean, they really did. You know,
so
I mean, like,
we've got all that covered.
I mean, you know, all the fans that want the young offense. Oh, offense. We need a guy named Marcus. Well, we interviewed Matt LaFleur. I mean, he doesn't call plays or coordinate the offense of the Rams, but he is technically the offensive coordinator. Who was it that said that he came off the the Kyle Shanahan tree?
Yeah.
As if that's like a tree.
Came off the Kyle Shanahan seed.
The Kyle Shanahan bush. The Kyle Shanahan. By the way, if you're a coordinator, you're not off that tree. Like, if you're a coordinator, you're not on the tree yet. You're still like a vine.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's go to John, who's up next on Jared and the GM. Crispy going to join us in a little bit. What's up, John?
Hi, I got two questions. I wanted to ask, when was Jim Schwartz with Belichick, and what did he do? And I also wanted to ask, what other GM in the league is out of the Belichick tree? Thanks.
You got it. Jason Light in Tampa, Bob Quinn in
Detroit,
and I think that's it, right?
Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, Thomas Dimitrov.
Dimitrov.
Thomas Dimitrov out of Atlanta, who
yeah.
you took his office after he left to go.
And he actually, you know, Scott Paoli was in Kansas City. I mean, there have been a few.
Jim Schwartz was on the staff. I think he was a scout.
Yes, pro scout. I believe pro scout in Cleveland.
And then he went to Baltimore, did he not, as like a defensive assistant? When they moved
yeah,
to
when
Baltimore,
they moved the team.
He went to Baltimore. Now, most of the coaching, Saban went to Michigan State.
I think he did go to Baltimore for a year because I think we hired him out of Baltimore.
Bill went to the Jets, right? Belichick went to the Jets to go coach under Parcells after Cleveland.
I think that's right, yeah.
So Belichick went with Parcells. Saban went to Michigan State. And I don't know where the rest of the staff went, but Jim Schwartz stayed with Baltimore with Ozzie Newsome. And then
– did he go to Michigan State or go to Toledo?
No, he went from Toledo, 1 year at Toledo, to the Browns as the defensive coordinator.
Okay.
So from the Browns –
then Michigan State.
To Michigan State, to LSU, to Miami, to Alabama.
Okay.
To the greatest coach who ever lived. To MB of MC, Mercedes-Benz of Music City. That's that's the Saban.
The real big hit.
The Saban path. Terry is up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, Terry?
Hey, guys. My question is, have they not are they not interested in interviewing John DeFilippo?
Well, they can't interview him. Thank you for the call, Terry. They can't interview him because he's still coaching the Eagles. But, I mean, I'd be pretty disappointed if they hired a quarterback's coach and the quarterback's coach came here and stunk.
Well, this is part of the problem we're talking about, though. That's one of the names of the, what'd you say, seven guys that are out there that he, you know, he may want to talk to all seven. He may not want to talk to any of them. We just don't know that. But if the guy that he is excited about is on that staff or on one of those staffs for those four teams, then, you know, you're going to have to wait. If you make it to the Super Bowl, you'll be waiting 3 weeks.
You know who's a great coach? Crispy.
Oh, yes.
Terry Crisp is a Stanley Cup winning coach. He'll join us next. Preds get set to take on Arizona. The second half of their season is underway. We'll take a Titans breather because Crispy is going to join us right here on Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared and the GM hanging out here at Bridgestone Arena. Where right now, I think Floyd is interviewing Crispy to be the next head coach of the Tennessee Titans, although I'm not sure. Which, by the way, Crispy, you do have a championship on, you know, under your belt, which I don't think there's any coaches out there for the Titans to hire, but are you open to being the next coach of the Titans?
Run and gun, baby, run and gun, and like the GM says, just keep chopping wood. We'll get there. Just gotta get there. That's all I'm telling you, Stiller.
You gotta know some good football coaches, huh?
You know who I was with, Mr. Dungy, Tony Dungy?
Oh, yeah.
For a while, class gentleman.
Oh, wonderful guy.
My one big thing was, and I only got one day with him, was Mr. John McKay. I golfed with him one day. Very quiet, but in depth. Anything you ask him? He went into the depth on it for that one. It was good.
I'll be done.
The one thing I did want to do and never got a chance to do as a coach was go to a football practice with the other coach. I go to their practice with them and just sort of be with them, listen to them, watch them, see what they do, et cetera. Never got a chance
to
do that.
Well, Floyd will help you out. Matt, Floyd will get the next coach, take you to practice, and now go out there.
Yeah.
Now, Crispy, I will say this, and it's fun because we're all standing up here at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. It kind of feels like a three-man booth calling a game. But the Predators have started the second half of the season. Floyd and I have kind of set our goal for the second half of the season, which, Floyd, is –
keep chopping wood.
Get me to the playoffs, baby.
I mean, all I
and that's the bottom line.
That's it.
Just go back to last year. Yeah. I mean, who got in the eighth spot?
Yeah.
Our guys right here. What'd they do with it? Bingo. Took it right to the hilt. Nice. Get to the dance, honey. You can dance with the best-looking girl there.
Now, that being said, though, the Preds are in good position to have a shot at home ice throughout the Western Conference playoffs or at least a couple of rounds here. I mean, how much – to me, just making sure they're ready for the playoffs is the number one key. But it is important to get home ice when you have the home ice advantage the Preds have.
You know what it is, and it means extra cash, as you know, home games, you get a little extra money and whatnot. The biggest thing about home ice is that you have the fans. And don't ever, and we know this better than anybody, do not poo-poo the fans in playoffs. I mean, they're so big a part of it. Last year, I don't know, I hope I will get a better one, but if I never do, that was one of the greatest sporting experiences I've had as not a coach or a player, but as a part of what happened in this city last year. That just tells you what it means, what they can do for you.
What do you think of the injury situation? I mean, down goes Forsberg, down goes Arvidsson. In the middle of the game, down goes Johansson, and UC Saros still pitches the shutout. Preds beat the best team in the Western Conference.
I love it. I love it. You know what that tells me? And I was listening to you gentlemen coming in, by the way, and what we have to do. We are sitting pretty. Right now, if we keep playing the way we are, we have a chance with the remaining games to – you're probably going to see Saros play a lot more games than what they're counting on because two things. Pekka, they want him well-rested. He's your ace. But Saros wins, and you put him in. So now, you know, when you're putting a little guy, you know, a little big man in there, he's going to win a hockey game for you. So I'd imagine that. And the other thing I'm thinking and watching the injuries, et cetera, is that when you got your I call them Clydesdales, the guys that pound you night in, night out, Hartnell, Watson, McLeod, Bonino when he's on and doing his thing out there, I'd imagine coming down the stretch run, you're going to see a little more time on the ice for these guys to rest the smaller guys. If you recall last year in the finals against Pittsburgh, Arvey was down to the nubs. Arvidsson was that little guy had no gas but nothing but fumes left. If things go according to how Coach Lav and his staff would like him to do, you better rest these guys too coming down once you get it solidified. But again, like anything else, you better solidify it.
Where in your mind, I mean, right now we're in pretty good shape. I mean, I'm no hockey expert, but I like where we are. Is this where you, if you looked at this roster and you knew, you know, Coach Lowry, everybody you look at, you go, that's where about where they should be.
Yeah.
Is that?
We're running with the boys. Well, I say that, but I got to be very honest. I don't have a crystal ball. I never envisioned Vegas being as good and as solid where they are. So let's put them where they are. Mm-hmm. Winnipeg jumps out all of a sudden. We knew they were a strong team. They can match you hard, tough, hit you. Look where they're sitting. The ones that do scare me, and I heard you guys talking earlier, there's still two teams out there that I don't think have kicked it in yet. You guys talk. Chicago's one of them. You said if they win 11 straight, they're going to be, yeah, and they're capable of doing that. And the other one is Dallas. Dallas has a good lineup. They are solid. So if those two kick it in, all they're going to do is jam the dance floor. They're going to jam the dance floor to see who wants to dance.
If you, in your mind, what has to change? Let's say we want to finish first. We want to be the best team in hockey. What do we have to do to get there? I mean, we can't
stay
be
healthy.
That far.
Got to stay healthy. Our biggest thing right now is health. And we've proven that. And we've been lucky, though. When the Joe Fillion was out and running, and then they hit that stale spot, and then we hit some things, then up jumps Fiala and Turris and Smith. They took over number one and started to carry it. Now what I'm looking for is a third line and a little more out of a fourth unit because we're going to have to use more of them coming down the stretch run. So I'm looking at, and I heard you talking the other night in our pregame, I was saying about some of the guys I want to see more out of that I think have got to start to jump up now in injuries and stretch runs. Fiala was one of them. Sissons was one of them. I had mentioned Turris. And a couple other ones is Yarncroke and Salamaki. And we keep forgetting about this little tank. But this little guy, he's strong. He built like a friggin' tank out there. But that's his game. He's got to show up, and he's got to wear them down. So these are guys that I think are going to log a little more ice time. But when you log the ice time, and I hate this expression, but it's true, double-edged sword. They want more ice time, then earn it. Earn ice time, you get it. And that's the situation we're in a lot of times with that.
Terry Crisp is with us here, Jaron the GM. So as far as Saros is concerned, we all know Pekka's the guy, and when they get to the playoffs, Pekka's going to be the guy. But, I mean, I watch UC Saros now throw, just go out there and 43-save shutout, 44-save shutout, 22 shots in the first period against Edmonton, no goals. And I'm thinking to myself, he's ready. Like, if you didn't have Pekka, he'd be ready. And I'm wondering how this is going to play out with Pekka in his situation and Saros in his situation, where there's a lot of teams around the league right now that would like to have UC Saros.
Oh, heck, not going to get him because two things. They will sign him, keep him, and he loves it here. And he knows that Pekka is on the side of where he is in age and whatnot. 35. And he's going to make a lot. But he also loves it here. And you know what? When you watch him now, Saros has now come into the situation where two things, three things, four things. How am I doing so far? Okay. First is the coaching staff have millennium faith in him. The fans love him, and the players have total faith in Saros out there. And the biggest thing is you're going to see, and you're going to see, you forgot it. I didn't forget it, Stiller, by the way, is he has confidence in himself now. He knows he can play with the big boys. He knows he can go out there and win hockey games for his hockey club like you just showed. 46 shots, 43 shots, shutouts, and he's playing just solid. Just playing there, waiting for the puck to come to him. He's got confidence. He's playing the game with confidence. And that, as you well know, if you lose confidence, it's hard to get back. But when you have it and ride that pony, excellent.
We have trade deadlines coming up, right?
Yep. You love them, didn't you, GMA? Yeah, baby. Get the cell phone home and start paying the bills.
We have always, or it seems like the last couple of years, we've been out. I'm not looking, but exploring. You know, maybe
tweaking. We're tweaking.
I like that. Do we expect teams to maybe be coming to us this year? And is it possible that one of the defensemen or one of the somethings?
Yeah, because we've stockpiled nicely. But you know what? I don't think David Poile, he's the longest tenured GM right now and coming out to the most wins also as GM. So David's been through the wars so many times with this, and he knows exactly what they're going to ask. He knows exactly what they're going to want and what he has. And I don't think you're going to see David be in a hurry to move any defenseman. Like, let's be honest. It doesn't take a genius. You're not moving Josi. You're not moving Ekholm. You're not moving Ellison. You're not moving Subban.
And if you would have moved one of those guys, you would have already done it by now.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And but you're not touching them. You're not touching your goaltending. So the avenues that are open for us right now, you're talking draft choices, which most GMs hate to give up, but if a GM has a nice team and it's what he thinks, I can remember we made a trade one year in Calgary when I was a head coach. Probably one of the dumbest moves we ever made, but we made it with a room that said, this is our year to win the cup. We made the trade and won the cup. So if you do it and make it, you look like a genius. Yeah. If you don't, you're out looking for a new job.
if they were going to add something, and you know, before we get to the what it would take to get what they'd need, I mean, are there really any deficiencies? I mean, I know that right now, you know, when you've got your entire first line out, that kind of changes things a little bit. But, I mean, they've got center depth. They've got as much center depth as I think they've ever had. They've got, you know, scoring across three, maybe even four lines. They've got two legitimate pairs plus a very serviceable third pair. They've got two goalies. I mean, what would you really want if you were to try to make a trade at the deadline?
If I was getting greedy and if I had the wherewithal, meaning – something that wouldn't weaken my team, a la draft choices or whatever. I would like, I know it's just tough to get, but I'm going to say the word too, ultimate power forward, meaning the guy who can skate, hit, go to the net, and score at the same time. That's, but a big one. Like, we got a lot of little racehorses out there that can fly, go to the net, make things happen, got good hands. I'm looking at a guy, now you're not, nobody's going to get a McDavid. So let's say you got a miniature or a lesser.
When you say those things that you added up, I'm trying to think in my head who a player in the league like that. Like, what did you say Brandon Saad in Chicago is that kind of player you're talking about?
Yeah. You would have to pay a big price for him, but similar. Goes to net, makes it happen, can score goals for you. Yeah. But you'd have to go down and say, okay, you're going to pay a little bit for him. But that's what I think right now if we had one of those. And as we all know, speed is monumental in the game today. Mm. So the big fella's got to have legs.
We have talked all day about Chicago and where they are, and of course, we're taking great joy in that.
You broke them.
You
broke them last year. You broke them.
Expect them to stay there?
No. No. They're too good. They're too experienced. You don't win Stanley Cups by, you know, wishing in one hand and spitting in the other and see which one gets filled first. You know which one's going to get filled first.
How committed to that take are you? That to that belief that Chicago is not – that Chicago is not. I'm willing to make a bet with you, Crispy.
Oh, look out!
Look out!
I don't think Chicago makes the playoffs.
Okay, that's I have a hard time disputing it, but I think they will squeak in. I think their management's too good. They got a guy in the background who's the smartest man in hockey right now is Scotty Bowman, young Stan Bowman's father, who I played for and know him, watch him. He's in the background, sort of nurturing. And say what you want, Taves and Kane are still two of the top players in the NHL, and they both have pride, and they're both not going to go down, not swinging. So
we will come up with whatever we're going to bet, but hey, we will bet.
All right.
I think Chicago's out. Crispy says they're in. 615-737-1025 is the number. Good to see you, Crispy.
Always good to join you, gentlemen. And hey, big fella, GM, keep chopping wood.
Chopping wood.
We'll see you, Crispy. Derry Crisp, of course, catch him on the broadcast post-game, and, of course, during the intermissions. Coming up next on the show, though, hear what a paper in Oregon says about the Titans coaching search. It's got an interesting take to it. We'll get to that next. Jared and the GM live from Bridgestone Arena right here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
How much, Ian, did the regression of Marcus Mariota really play into the firing here of Mike Mularkey with the Titans?
Yeah, it certainly did. And, you know, that's something that as the Titans, you know, planned out their offseason and really thought about which direction they were going to go, obviously, they talked about privately firing Mularkey after the regular season if he lost, after the playoff game if he lost. Obviously, neither of those happened. But it was all about the direction that Marcus Mariota was going. And just in general, the belief that the players were not maximizing their skills on the field.
That was Ian Rappaport, and we all know that. That kind of is the discussion around why Mike was fired, right? The whole Mariota regressed, and they didn't want to fire the coaches, and yada, yada, yada. So the Oregonian has a take on this.
The what?
The Oregonian, the paper out in Oregon.
Okay.
Why do you think the paper in Oregon would have a take on the Titans coaching search?
I don't know. Quarterback, I guess.
Of course the quarterback. So they have this long article about Marcus and his career and things that we already know. But this is what they write. This is the Oregonian. This is Jeffrey C. Arnold. And he writes, quote, "The Titans need to continue to move forward and adapt to the changing NFL landscape. Their management team clearly saw that the stubborn Mularkey wasn't willing or able to adjust, preferring to stick with what has worked in the past instead of preparing for the future. Mariota will now have to adjust to another head coach, his third in four seasons, and a new offensive style. The Titans had better make the right call on the new hire because Mariota's career is at stake. He has the tools to be a versatile NFL quarterback and shouldn't have to waste precious years of his prime adjusting to a revolving door of coaches while management stumbles in their attempt to find the right fit." So basically what that article is saying is that Mariota's great and the Titans need to find a coach who can fit Mariota. But the thing that I wonder is it really true? Is Mariota's career really at stake based upon who the next head coach is?
At stake?
That's what the article says.
Yeah, no, I don't think that. I mean, is it going to, you know, will it affect it one way or the other? I'm sure it will to a certain extent. But, I mean, what we're thinking here is we're going to bring in some guy that is going to be an offensive guru, and he will put together a game plan that will only benefit him. I mean, again, I don't know. I'm trying to think how I can say this delicately. I mean, what was it that we would want to keep about the last year's offense?
Decker.
I mean, there's just not, you know, we didn't run the ball well. We didn't throw the ball well. The receivers didn't play well. Offensive line didn't play well, did it? So, I mean, I don't think there's, you know, if I was Marcus and they said, okay, we're going to give you exactly the same offense this year, I'd be going, whoa. Wait a minute, guys. Hold on here. Can't we adjust some of this stuff? We need to fix something here.
Well, again, we talked about this early in the show. I don't think it's so much this system as much as it was the execution of what they were trying to do. You know, like the coaches didn't – the receiver. Like, let's take the receivers as an example. Like, we have kind of circled receivers as where there's been a legitimate coaching problem because they keep bringing in new guys and they keep doing the same things that are wrong, right?
Yep.
Guys run the wrong routes. Well, that's not a system problem. That's a coaching execution problem. Like, you know, strategy and execution are two totally different things. And I don't think the strategy is that big of a deal. It's like this article when it talks about the tools Mariota has to be a versatile NFL quarterback. What that tells me is, hey, we need to run the Oregon offense with Mariota and try to get it out. No, you don't. You do that, he's hurt.
I don't know what they're making that adjective, however they phrase
versatile.
That again, as a positive. I'm not sure that's – I mean, we're not looking for option. We're not looking for run and shoot. We're not looking for but they're making it sound like all this stuff. I would rather him, you know, throw the ball very, very well.
Than be a versatile NFL quarterback?
Yes.
Well, and plus he's not
– an outstanding pocket passer.
He's not built to be Michael Vick because he can't take the hits.
Can't take the hits. He's constantly hurt.
I mean, he got hurt this season. He got hurt, what, week four against the Texans? Then he came back week six against the Colts, but wasn't really healthy. Then had about a month, got hurt at Arizona. Then was finally healthy enough to run again against Jacksonville the last week of the year. And then got hurt against New England in the playoffs. Sorry, that tells me Mariota is simply not a runner. The only time he can run is when he runs to pick up a first down and get out of bounds.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And we see this, you know, all of these older or more experienced quarterbacks, I mean, they're going to get down to the ground. There's a reason they don't take hits. There's a reason they don't run 70 yards with the ball. You know, get the first down, fine, get out of bounds, don't take a hit. All right, here we go, back to the huddle.
As far as the Oregonian article, though, where they say, again, the line, the Titans had better make the right call on the new hire because Mariota's career is at stake. I don't believe that.
No,
I mean,
no.
Jarrell Casey is a great player, right?
Yes.
Okay, but Ken Whisenhunt was a bad coach. Jarrell Casey was a great player. Munchak wasn't a great coach. He was a great player. Mike was probably the best of the three coaches. Mike, you know, he was a good player. Like, to me, good players are good players. And it doesn't matter if the coach is a good coach or not. The good players will be good players. Now, the players may not all be on the same page. They may not execute right. They may do dumb stuff. They may fake punts at Arizona with Eric Weems. But that doesn't mean that the quarterback is bad. So I don't buy the Mariota's career is at stake based solely upon the hire.
Yeah.
If anything, the next hire's career is at stake based upon Mariota.
I don't buy into any of that. I mean, he's going into his fourth year. He's going to be, what, 26, 27, something like that?
Fourth year in the league.
And, you know, we're seeing quarterbacks play till they're 40. So he'll be okay.
Again, like I just said, I think the coach that takes this job, his career is more at stake based on Mariota than Mariota's career is at stake based on the next coach.
Oh, it could be.
I mean, think about it. If you're Vrabel, you take this job, you better love Mariota because people will remember you for this job for forever. So that's how we're doing this. I don't buy the at stake, but that's what the Oregonian says. It's time for Ask the GM, presented by Bob Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows. Coaching search means a perfect time to ask the GM question. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Ask the GM, presented by Bob Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows. And the best call for the GM will win a pair of tickets before you can see them or before you can buy them to see Steely Dan and the Doobie Brothers. Your people, Floyd. Steely Dan and the Doobie Brothers at Ascend Amphitheater on Sunday, May 20th. Tickets go on sale Saturday, January 20th at 10 a.m. Again, that's Steely Dan and the Doobie Brothers. Caller, the best call for Ask the GM is Ask the GM, presented by Bob Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows, is next on Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.